Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is September 25th, 2018. It's Tuesday. I think it's our last week. We're talking about our last week in September. So next week we'll be on to Halloween, and then after that, we all know what the rest of the year brings. But before we get there, before we hit that spot, we have to talk about how to know if someone is toxic in your life. And sometimes identifying who is taking away from you rather than feeding you helps you also see maybe things you've been doing that weren't so good to yourself. By accepting what goes on around you that isn't okay. Talk about a mirror. But there's something Christ said, and he says it over and over and over again, and it's self-accounting. Everyone we invite into our lives, because there's some people you can't just throw away, family or relatives, but you can make choices. And that's what I want to talk about today, because once we start to enter this whole holiday season, and October's still kind of a lull, but once Halloween hits, at least in the United States, you know, they're already selling Christmas before Halloween, but they really sell it hard right after, and then that's all we're talking about and doing. But we're also seeing a lot of people that we normally don't see. And we also take an inventory about what's going on in our life now and what would we like to change in the new year. And we start to think about how we want our lives to be, more so in this time of year, all the way until literally the beginning of the year. And then we just run for whatever it is we've decided. But how do we know what's holding us back? How is it when we are around others? And we can feel great, or we can get that feeling of, oh my gosh, if I don't do this, this person will not be happy with me. If I don't do this, I won't feel safe. If I don't do this, I will feel pressure. But how do we know? Because there is a personality type that takes and takes. And takes and takes. And it's, as Christ said, more black and white now, and it's getting more black and white. We're starting to identify things like narcissism, things like people not caring about you, but what you can do for them. Janet Jackson had it a long time ago on What Have You Done For Me Lately? Comes hard and strong, even though you may not notice it's happening, because you start feeling like you have to feed into, have to take care of, have to do what that person does, and there's less and less of you in the equation. In the beginning, it's not like that. If you've lived with the person for a long time, you're so used to it that you don't even know that it's a problem. If it's a parent, if it's a sibling. But then you realize, but I never feel attached. Attached. If I didn't do all of these things for this person or make this person look good, would they be here? That's your filter question. Why is this person here? What are they gaining from me? Because I don't feel that that's happening for me. What is it they're getting from me that they need Well, how do you identify it? How do you know? So, of course, I ask Christ because it gives me an answer I don't expect. And he said, have clear boundaries of who you are and what you would like in your life, regardless of who's in it. Doesn't matter. But have clear boundaries, because then you'll know if they were crossed. Think about that. I want to have a relationship where there's a healthy energy exchange. Well, what does healthy energy exchange mean? Well, that we both get to make decisions. The other person asks me what I think, what I would like, what I would want. And I ask them, and we kind of work to please each other. Then you kind of know, oh, okay, that's a boundary, because now I'm doing everything. Is that partly my fault? Do I put it on myself to do everything? Or do they work with me, or do they at least ask me? Oh, no, they didn't. Well, they don't realize everything I've done. Oh, they just pushed that aside and just assumed I would do it. And they even tried to give me more to do. A lot of times, I found there's like this spectrum. You know how there's a spectrum for autism, Asperger's, and all of the those, what they call disorders that I think are abilities, not disabilities at this point. After meeting all the people, and today actually I'm going to UCLA to talk about that spectrum, but there's another spectrum out there, and it's a narcissistic spectrum, and that's also a disorder. People with narcissism are also focused on one thing. The one thing that they're focused on is also themselves. Is they really can't see anybody else. They can only see others as an extension of them. And what happens is when they have that personality, they live on fuel. So if you have a relationship with somebody who has narcissistic tendencies where they can't see you, where if you catch them lying or catch them doing something, they turn it on you. You become the problem, not them. What happens is look from them, because most of the time you're a deep-seated people pleaser and it fits perfectly. They look for people pleasers and people pleasers are attracted to them. Because that little pat on the head you get in the beginning feels great. After a while, that pat on the head becomes a have to. But the problem with narcissism, and this is where people fall with it, because sometimes, you know, that combination can work if the other person's aware of the fact that that's where they're at and that they've made a choice to be there and that it works for them. Narcissistic people are actually quite successful, whatever it is they're doing, because all their energy goes there. The only issue that exists, but it's a big issue, and it's what turns people off of the narcissistic personality, is that it's short-sighted, and it keeps the person in a perpetual new beginning stage. They're always starting something new, and everything behind them is bad. Oh, that wasn't, this person was a mistake. That was a mistake. Everything except what's going on now. But then you realize that one day, if you don't fuel this person enough, you are going to be that mistake. Now, if you identify that as toxic in your life, make a decision now. Because it's inevitable that you'll be able to stay. Narcissism is very catalytic. I used to get upset at thinking of the narcissistic personality because I felt like it just uses people. but really the person who's being used is the person with it, by themselves. The things they want, relationships that they want, because they think in opposite of mind. They don't think in love. They think love is overrated. They think people who talk about feelings are silly. They have to be taught how feelings. I know people who are in therapy for it and trying so hard and asking questions. Did I do anything today to hurt you? Am I okay? Because they really don't know. So I stopped feeling like, when I think about it. And I started looking at narcissism as a choice. But if you do not understand where you are at, you are going to feel frustrated, abandoned, alone, used, uncared for. And the list can go on with more adjectives of how that feels to be around somebody who can lie on a dime, blame you for the lie, use you up, not care how it affects you. And it's not because they're mean. It's just because of how they see the world. They don't know they're mean. They think they're smarter than a whip. Drains you in your life. You have to make a decision. And if you don't, then you've made a decision to not make a decision and at least be honest about that. Because we are in a time right now of so many filters. Yes, I can do this. No, I can't do that. This is too much. This is too much time, money, energy. Our health is very important. People's health is failing because of our food supply and all of these things. So we don't generally have the kind of energy or time that we used to have to deal with toxic situations. So now we're all fighting to deal with what we can deal with on top of what we have to take care of within ourselves. I have a family member, and we've kind of run across this over the years because we've had during this show many episodes, but she has a daughter who has bipolar who on and off decides to take her medication. And sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes better without it, sometimes better with it, and it just goes on and on. And it has destroyed my sister trying to keep up with that mind because there is no balance. But what happened is, I could tell her till I was blue in the face, take care of yourself or you will not be able to take care of everybody. And she didn't. And she didn't. And now it's hard for her to walk. To walk. Too tired. Too much stress. There's things called adrenal fatigue. There's things called names I never heard before. Because when we don't take care of ourselves, we eventually cannot take care of anybody else. And if we don't hear what people are telling us to pay attention to, and then 2-3 years later, they'll be like, oh my gosh, you told me that like 2 or 3 years ago. What have I done in that time? And it breaks my heart that all of that stuff is wear and tear on our soul. And it's hard to deal with, and resources are few. And she's suffering all the years of denial. No matter what anybody told her, she knew better. She had it under control. And now she sees it, and she's living it, and she's going through it, and she's fighting for her daughters. And she can only fall apart when she talks to me. but I don't know how much she hears. Because all this time, she really hasn't heard me. She just needs me to fix it. Because she didn't know how to manage the toxicity in her life. And she brought people in along the way that were, and she gave them time and energy that she couldn't give her own family at the time. And then she realized it was toxic and then let it go. But toxicity is far-reaching, even if it's one person and not many. And usually it's only about one or two. But we also have to ask ourselves, what are our own boundaries? Okay, so I see this person has told me they keep starting brand new. This person has told me this person is bad that was here before you, but you're good. This person has said to me, this person served me well. And they talk about their past as though it served them or did not. The person was good and now flipped. Now they're completely bad. And it's not true. And sometimes we fall into that fallacy of wanting to be the person that's perfect for them, wanting to be the person that's better than the last. But that's not the way to start any relationship, to try to be better than someone who was there before you. And if everybody left this person every 4 or 5 years, you're going to leave them too. And they're going to be talking about you to the next person. I could guarantee it. And if you're aware of what's going on, it will happen much sooner than 3, 4, or 5 years. Take a look at the inventory of your life, of the people who came and went, and why did they leave? Honest, what was your part? What in you attracted them? What in you kept you there? And I know we all have to learn, so let's learn from what we have to learn. From what we have to learn. Because then we don't go back and repeat it. Are very lonely, very sad. We meet them. We want to help them. The first 7 times you meet people who have these traits, don't exhibit any sign of these traits. So don't beat yourself up that this is happening to you and, oh, what's wrong with you? But that vulnerability, it's like they switch from that vulnerability until they have the loyalty. And then slowly you're doing this for them and doing that for them. And you're accepting stuff that if you were to tell somebody, you would have to explain it. Oh, but, and there's always a good reason. They can't do this. Why can you? Can you? Ask questions when you meet somebody. Before you make decisions and think you've just fallen into the best place on earth, as fast as it goes up will be as fast as it goes down. Let yourself get somewhere, settle somewhere. A lot of people will meet somebody once they've reconciled within them what their own boundaries are. I want a man or a woman who's present most of the time, whose job doesn't keep them gone all night or traveling all the time, because that I don't work well in those situations. What will my everyday life be like, and how do I see myself a year from now in a situation that I'm being told takes place? Well, I travel and I like going on vacations by myself, and I'm going to lie to you once in a while. And I literally had somebody say to me once, who knew that they lie a lot, but it made me feel like they were honest. But it turned out that they honestly couldn't help it, to said, "I hope to God I never lied to you." Because his last relationship crumbled on lies. But in the beginning, they're honest like that. Then if they lie and you say, "Hey, you said you hope you never lie to me and you just did. What happened?" They'll go, "Oh, so you're using what I told you against me?" I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm not talking about what you told me alone. I'm talking about the fact that there's a lie right now, lifetime. But they go back to that. They deflect. They twist you. They turn you. They put you through a washer and a dryer before they let you come out. And by then, you're so dizzy, you don't even know somebody put you in a washer or a dryer. And people can do some pretty crazy stuff right under your nose if you're not paying attention. But then as time goes on, you realize you knew in your heart something was wrong. You knew. You knew that you were falsely carrying someone because now you're in it. You're in it, and it's too hard to unravel. And unless you can go to therapy together and it can be pointed out, and you have to learn to deal with the narcissistic type personality, you have to know that they'll love you more in your absence. They need fuel. They need to feel like they're victorious. They need to feel like they're better than others. They need to feel like no one knows what they're doing. And that's the hardest personality to deal with, because they can see you, but they actually can't see you. They need you. They need to plug you in to do what it is they need. Like, look, I have this great family, and when I need them, they all pop out of the box. And when I don't need them, they just go on and do their own thing. As long as they don't bother me. So know what you want. Be clear about what defines the kind of people you're happiest around. So that when you meet somebody, you have the patience to take a look at who you're meeting, and not just from either desperation or loneliness or fear that you won't meet anybody else. They're usually the fastest to jump in because they need to plug people in. In normal circumstances, things take time. They take a little time because people care enough to care about who they're bringing into their lives or not. And, you know, an interesting fact, because I don't like to hear when somebody's beating themselves up for people they've met and let into their lives, because you can't help it at the time because you are not aware of what's going on. But in dating situations, you know, when they do the speed dating and they have people around tables and everyone gets, I don't know, 5 minutes with each person, and I've never participated in it, but I've heard about it and I've seen it in shows about how they do that. Well, when that happens, the people with the narcissistic tendencies were the first chosen. They were the shiniest. They were dressed completely, you know, to impress. They're very vulnerable in the beginning. They know how to meet people really, really well because they've had to meet people over and over again, because their turnover is high. And they're very emotionally attractive because they have so much confidence. But that confidence is a toothless lion. It's based on insecurity rather than security, feeling like they had to fend for themselves from a very early age. And that's why that happens. They didn't get enough security needs met between 18 months and 4 years of life. And in their mind, their success is getting other people to do things for them, not because they just want to use them, but to them, that proves to them that that person cares. That's why they demand loyalty. That's why they demand proof. They may not give it to you, but they demand it from you. They're usually not very loyal. A white lie, they have different names for lies. It's not just a lie. It's a white lie or a big lie. And they won't admit it. I've worked with one, and I am telling you it took me 2 hours for them to just admit that they purposefully didn't want to do something that they say they did, but then found an excuse not to. And tried to act like it was the other person's fault. Well, you know, you're going to have a big party anyway. You won't notice that I'm not there, and I accept an invitation over here. And it's like your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And they don't even spend Thanksgiving with you, and they go to their exes and spend Thanksgiving, and they give you a reason why. I've had that. I've seen that. And when you try to tell them that something was wrong with that, they say, well, who did it hurt? Why should anybody really care? And you're thinking, how could you not see it? But when you have the two of them together and they're talking and there's a third person listening, they have to try to see it at the very least. But the only way they can see it is, how would you like that if I did that to you? And then they like, oh, wait a minute. Why would you ever do that to me? And it's literally like you just poured cold water on them. Fuel driven. Whatever they want to do is what's most important, and everybody else just accepts it. But yet, if you, and this is a big sign too, if you're with somebody and every Tuesday night you go to the movies, and then one Tuesday night you have other plans, that's a huge aggressive move towards somebody who has that in their personality. That's like, well, that's our night. How could we not have done that? So pay attention to what you want. Pay attention to what's going on. What kind of conflicts do you have? Because these are usually very combative type relationships serving into the other. And they put you down and you accept it and you try to be better. If that's not where you want to be, ask yourself, how do I unplug myself? And if I unplug myself, can I still have a healthy relationship? And if you can't, you have decisions to make, or your decision is to stay and figure you can deal with that level of toxicity and go on in your life. But the way to know is to define what you want in your own life. And if that doesn't fit, then you know that that's not the right place. Know yourself so that you can see others. Oh, you guys, this show, just even talking about it, but it had to be said. I love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow and Relationships Wednesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.